first of all, thank you for your prayers. I wanted to talk a little bit about trouble, where it comes from, and what to do about it. And somebody has trouble today. The book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble.
Amen.
Covers everybody.
Amen.
Rich people have trouble, well as poor people. Where does it come from? We'll go back to the garden.
Amen.
Everything was good through the creation there. And then God said, he looked at it, and it was very good.
Amen.
Very good. I really don't know how God could have made it any better. Adam was, he was over all the fish of the sea, all the cattle, all the creation there that God had put under him.
Amen.
Had a wonderful wife, and man, what else could he want?
Amen.
But from there, it's just a little while. God said this to Adam. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Amen.
Drastic change.
Amen.
Could have been a week, could have been a month. Could have been a couple of hours. I don't think it took very long. I think he fell pretty quick.
Amen.
Adam was safe. He was not saved. But he was safe.
Amen.
God told him, he said, you're going to live. Don't eat of that tree, the one tree, or you'll die. Condition. He had conditional life. He was safe. Everything was great.
Amen.
Something went wrong. And we know what that was. And now the ground God has cursed for Adam's sake. And in sorrow shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and to dust shalt thou return. Turn a page back, possibly there in chapter 3 there of Genesis, verse 1. Look at that word, now. Now the serpent. It's the first time he comes on the scene after the creation there. After everything was very good. As in chapter 1, verse 31. The serpent. He was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And we know how that story went. He came to the woman. He questioned God's word. He made an attack on the word of God. That's still being done today.
Amen.
That's the oldest trick in the book, isn't it?
Amen.
Some man wrote that book. I heard a guy ask, told me, said, when that guy comes back with that, ask him, who told him that? Some man tell you that? Probably. Some man probably told him that. Attack on God's word. But we know God's word is true.
Amen.
And we know that it came from God. And what a privilege we have today. I mean, we can come and open our Bibles and not have to hide and be afraid of persecution or possibly death. I mean, we need to thank God for that, and we need to make sure we're fighting to keep that. We don't want to lose that. But the serpent. A lot of things we can say about the serpent. He's a deceiver. He's an accuser of the brethren.
Amen.
He's a liar.
Right.
He had the power of death.
Amen.
That's a lot of power. It's limited to death. And we see that even he has to obey the God.
Amen.
There's only one true God.
Amen.
And if you don't get right down to it, there's only one fake God. All these others, they're all his. They all come down from him, from Satan. And so we can sum this up. There's a God, capital G, and there's a God, little g.
Amen.
The little g God, he's the God of this world. And he has blinded the minds of them that believe not the gospel.
Amen.
Blinded the minds. That's where we come into play. We got to let people know who God is,
Amen.
The true God, and who the little God, Satan, is. They're complete opposites. I mentioned him being the accuser of the brethren. Now, there was a man in the land of Uz, it's in Job chapter 1, whose name was Job, and that man was perfect. Upright, one that feared God, and eschewed evil. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, or his substance, 7,000 sheep, boy, to read all down, 3,000 camel, 500 yoke. He was a great man. In verse 5 it says that he was the greatest man of the East. This man was the greatest of all the men of the East. He went from there real quick to using a potsherd to scrape himself.
Amen.
Had no children, no wife, no animals, no children, bulls from the top of his crown to the bottom of his feet.
Amen.
And he got a potsherd and scraped himself. What a change.
Amen.
What happened? It's in verse 6, chapter 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. There it is. He comes blaming God. I like the way that's all put here. He told God that he had put a hedge about Job. And God did not deny that, did he? You believe the child of God's got a hedge about him? I sure do. I don't believe we can make it no time if he didn't. Job was, again, a perfect man. And God told Satan, I've got a man out there that's doing right. But God, you know, Satan, he makes light of that and accuses God of putting a hedge up. And if he didn't, if he'd take it down and let him get to him, he'd curse God. Man. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord, and he tore down everything Job had in these next verses. He's a thief. He came to kill. He came to destroy. And that's what he does. That's his deal. And in chapter 2 of verse 1, it starts with the word again. You know, when he throwed that blow on Job, Job gave God praise, didn't he? Blessed be the name of the Lord, Job says. Naked came I out of the womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. So Satan failed. But verse 2, first word is again. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. There's an old saying out there, Satan never gives up. He'll just keep coming back. But now there is a way to resist him. And he'll flee for a season. But he'll be back. But Job held up. This time he smote him with these boils and things, and his health. And so, I don't know. Job probably thought when he lost all that to begin with that it'll have to get better. You know, it's so bad. I mean, it can't get any worse. Every time I say that, it gets worse. I got to where I try not to say it. But it got worse for Job. Got worse. And so Satan really come down on him. And he really had him in pain. Then what happens? It gets worse again with his three friends. Rubbing it in. Trying to make him to not being what he was. He was a perfect man. And so What I want to say is, all the trouble we have out here, I know that Satan's behind it.
Amen.
It's behind it. You know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, principalities and powers, rulers of darkness,
Amen.
High places.
Right.
It's a real battle.
Amen.
It's a real battle. And but here is what we know here. We've studied it. We've had it preached. We know Satan, time is closing down fast.
Amen.
And he will be chained in hell.
Amen.
He will be. He will be confined before he's completely thrown into the lake of fire. God wins this thing.
Amen.
He's already won it. Our enemy is death.
Amen.
The last enemy that shall be defeated is death.
Right.
And, of course, we know Jesus conquered death.
Amen.
Job asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again?
Amen.
Job was a great man of faith, wasn't he? This question has been asked a lot. I heard a sermon here a while back about the beggar and Lazarus. Lazarus, the beggar and the rich man, I'm sorry, in Luke 16. And the message was, both men died and.
Amen.
And. You know, it's not over when you die. Not over. We're eternal beings.
Amen.
We're either going to be in hell for eternity or we're going to be in heaven.
Amen.
For eternity. It's not over when we die.
Amen.
Thank God. Thank God. This life really doesn't have that much, does it? I hope I don't take too long, but I want to mention the richest, wisest man in the world of his time, and he may still hold that other than Jesus. We know Jesus was wiser than any man.
Amen.
But Solomon had it, didn't he?
Amen.
He had it. You know, you read about him in Ecclesiastes, and he lays it out.
Amen.
Boy, he had gardens, he had servants, he had man servants, and they were born in his house. I mean, as the fellow said, he had the world by the tail. But you know, he stopped a little bit and considered where he was. He got off track. He got off track. And he stopped a little bit and he considered it. And he said these words. He hated life. Richest man in the world. More wisdom than anybody. Yet. He says, I hated life. You can go back and study that in Ecclesiastes and see all the things that he mentions there. Scripture tells us that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable.
Amen.
This world is not where it's at. It's not where it's at. Satan is out there to trouble us, and we are of a few days full of trouble, and it's going by swiftly.
Amen.
A lot of decisions, we make day to day. And we weigh these things out, don't we? We'll decide, you know, this or that. I like the way Job had already committed himself to God. In Job 13:15, he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." Peter said after Jesus made the hard saying there in John chapter 6, Jesus asking his disciple, "Will you go away also?" "To whom shall we go?" he says. You know, who's left? It is a hard saying. And Jesus has some hard sayings.
Amen.
You know, I find it hard to believe God. Do you find it hard? I need help. And thank you. Thank you, friends. Y'all help me believe.
Amen.
You may not know it, but you do.
Amen.
I see the faith in you. I see how God blesses you. It's visible. It's visible. I see the love you have.
Amen.
Hey, the world ain't got it.
Right.
I need to grow. Y'all keep helping me. Pray for Jeannie. She needs to grow too. No, but to whom shall we go? You know, if we look this thing over, Peter says, "Thou hast the words of eternal life."
Amen.
Wow.
Right.
Now, hey, there are nowhere else to go.
Right.
Let's just commit to him. Let's commit to him. That's what all the great ones did.
Amen.
Little old Esther, you know, she was put on trial. By the way, Peter talks about a fiery trial. I don't like trials. I don't like trouble. I don't like none of that stuff. But it's going to happen. Actually, it's good for you. Kind of like some of them corrections we got at home. I didn't like them, but they was good for me. But Peter talks about that. And little Esther, she was put out there. She faced death.
Amen.
If she went to the king without him inviting her, she could die. Her words, after some prayer and encouragement, church, we need each other. We need to pray for. We don't need to be accusing each other. We need to be praying for each other,
amen.
And because we're all susceptible to sin's tricks, and the sin. But she had them praying and fasting, and her words were, "If I perish, I perish." Committed, went right on in. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't throw them in the fiery furnace. They said something to the effect, "Our God's able."
Amen.
He's able.
Praise God.
To deliver us.
Praise God.
I don't know if he will. We don't know if he will. But we're not going to bow down to your God.
Amen.
We're not going to worship your image. Commit it. God didn't let them burn, did he?
Right.
In fact, there was a fourth man walking around in there.
Amen.
He looked like the Son of God.
Right.
Committed. Daniel. First chapter of Daniel. First thing we see there is he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself.
Amen.
That goes on to say, with a portion of the king's meat,
amen,
with the wine. But you could just keep naming things, couldn't you? It wasn't just that. Commitment. Man. Again, but where can we go except to Jesus?
Amen.
Brother Dean mentioned there, made me think of back at the beginning of all this, when Adam and Eve fell, Adam plunged all of us into a fallen state. We're born with his nature,
amen,
his old sin nature, and then we come along and do some sins that he didn't even cause us to do. I did. Bunch of them. Adam didn't make me sin all the sins I sinned. I did that. But God kills innocent animals. They were naked. And he clothed them with the skins of those innocent animals. Pictures it. Pictures it. Jesus had already made a promise before the foundation of the world,
amen,
to give us eternal life, to shed his blood and die for my sin before the world began.
Amen.
It's almost too much to take in. He knew what he was doing. Again, where else could we go? Let's just commit to him. There is no other way. There's no other way. And I mean commit fully. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
Amen.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass.
Amen.
You know, I don't know how long Job suffered. It looks like a long time. It really does. When you read through there, I've never suffered that bad. And he didn't suffer as bad as Jesus.
Amen.
No one suffered as bad as Jesus.
Amen.
Don't know how long he suffered. But there was a purpose in it. It wasn't just because Satan accused God. It wasn't just that. He had three friends that was wrong with God. They were out of touch with God. They needed God.
Amen.
And God sent them to the sick man, Job. The man didn't have nothing. The one they thought had sinned and caused and brought that all on him. You go to him. He'll pray for you. He'll make intercession. If you don't do it, judgment's coming. I'm gonna come after you. You know, sometimes there's a purpose that we'll never know in this life.
Amen.
When we suffer, we may never know. I don't know that Job ever knew. I don't find it where God said, "Okay, Job, now here's what's going on." And after it's all over, I don't know that he ever set him down. Now, here's what I did. He don't owe us any explanations.
Amen.
I don't know. I think it's okay to ask why, but he may not tell us. It's up to him. He does have a purpose.
Amen.
He wants the world to repent. Everybody, believe the gospel and be saved.
Amen.
go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I heard a message the other day, a guy of quite a bit of a different view than we have here. He said this statement, I think I got it right, God saves everybody that he wants to save. That sounds almost right. He wants to save people that won't let him.
Amen.
He wants to save more than he's saving. He wants to save everybody. That's his will. And hey, if he can use one of us through suffering, I just hope it ain't me. But really, he knows what he's doing.
Amen.
He knows what he's doing. And again, there's sorrows either way. Rich people, poor people, saved people. Lost people have sorrows too. But we got God.
Amen.
We got God. That's all I have. I thank you so much. I appreciate y'all. Thank you.
Turn to page 564.